I want to introduce you to another child of God. He met Jesus in 1971. Since then, he's never stopped introducing people to his best friend, Jesus Christ. And his name is Arnold van der Spuy. Arnold, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon, Johan. It's a privilege to be here and just give a bit of feedback and testimony.
Amen to that, you know. I heard about you from my sister-in-law, Rita van Tonder. She is from Somerset West, Rita van Tonder. She told me all about your ministry, and I was so intrigued with what the Lord is doing through all the crusades and over all these years. I don't want to talk much this afternoon. I want to give you the opportunity to talk about what the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit convicted you very powerfully. You must go out and you must go and do the work of grace in Jesus' name, especially to the Amazon regions. And I hear that at the age of 33, you felt challenged by God to start reaching out to some of the last and the most remote unreached people groups of our day, the Amazon tribes. And you started traveling to South America and the jungles of the Amazon region in 1993 and still doing that today. What a privilege to have you on air on Radio K-Pulpit and Radio Pulpit this afternoon. Arnold, take us away, brother. Give us the grace of Jesus, the love of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit as he is using you.
Great, Johan. Yes, it's amazing. This is going to be very encouraging for all the listeners. God uses available and willing people. It doesn't necessarily use the educated or arrived people. And I want to really encourage people out there, because after I got saved by his grace radically, because somebody was prepared to testify to me at the age of 11, then at the age of 13, I was paging through National Geographic, and most people know the National Geographic. And I saw photos of unreached tribes. They were probably in Papua New Guinea, I don't know, but these scientists were reaching out to these people, making contact for the first time on the photos. I didn't even read about it. You know, at age 13, you just look at photos. And I saw this desperate desolation and need in the eyes of the tribal people, reaching out, literally with their hands, to these scientists. And these scientists, all respect, some of them were acknowledged atheists. And I do have nothing against an atheist, but an atheist doesn't believe in God or Jesus. And these, I could see in these eyes of the tribal people looking towards these people as if they brought the answer of life to them, because every human being is seeking for the answer of life. And that struck me to my heart. I was cut to the heart. And I just realized there's something wrong with so many of us sitting in churches and being fed, and these people are never being reached. And I mean, you're a people who don't even confess God, and they prepare to risk their lives. They're prepared to go all that way and reach these people. I mean, what a shame, what an embarrassment on those of us who say that we do believe in the power of God and we believe in the message where Jesus said, go. He never said, come back. He never said, stay. He never said, pray to stay. He never said, pray to go. He just said, go. So I just said in my heart to the Lord, there's something wrong with you with this picture. And I think I need to go. And years went past, and about 10 years later, we were doing a street outreach and we were dishing our tracks. And a guy hastily walked past me and he grabbed this track and pushed it back into my hand and said, man, why don't you go to some unforeign place or like the Amazon and reach out to those people who've never heard? And he walked off. And it struck to my heart that I made a kind of an agreement with the Lord 10 years before that I would go. I remember that. And he said, the Amazon. And I read books of how to get prepared to be a missionary and what to do, 7 steps to this, 5 things should fall in place, and I tried all of that, and nothing of that worked out. And I just realized that those things didn't fall in place. I need to go back to the Bible, and I said to the Lord, at the age of 33, nothing's working out, nothing's falling in place. Why not? I read all these books of how to get prepared, and they were written by well-known spiritual people, you know, and God in my heart said, but Arnold, I never wrote those books. Wow, what a shock to me to realize that, of course, God wrote one book, and that's the Bible. And the Bible basically says, from Genesis to Revelation, it's by faith. You go by faith. And I said, Lord, is it really that good? Is it just a step of faith? And God said, that's what it is. And basically what the Lord said to me, and of course this happens in your heart by thought and by reading the Bible. It's not, I didn't hear a voice. And I felt God saying to me, Arnold, I'm actually waiting for you. I said, what? Lord, are you waiting for me? But I've learned that we should wait on the Lord. God said, that's right. But waiting on God doesn't mean waiting for God. There's a grammatical difference, because waiting on God literally means to trust in Him. It means being actively busy trusting in Him. And I was embarrassed and ashamed. I said, Lord, if that's really what your word says, then I'm going to be obedient. And I left. I left at the age of 33 after nothing worked out. And I had $200 US to my name. I left in faith with a one-year return ticket from South America. Sure. And I'm still going. And God has ever since started blessing me. Of course, there were difficult times, tough times. I want to encourage people out there that things don't always fall in place. But we have a powerful weapon that operates through love, as Galatians 5, verse 6 says. And that's faith. Faith operates through love. And it's the love of Jesus that constrains us, but faith keeps us going. We were given faith. We were given God's faith. It's in our hearts. Man, what a powerful weapon.
Hey.
We only have Johan in this life to use his faith. Never Amen. Again in eternity will we be able to use. So that's in a nutshell what I did.
Well, this is Arnold Fullerspay with his wife Heidi, and they are from Amazon Missions. Now, you know, making Jesus' name known deep inside the jungle of the Amazon, It's a tough ministry. At present, you are doing your own pilot's license so that you can expand the horizons of the Amazon missions. How is it going with your pilot's license?
Yes, Juan. I started flying at the age of 20 and then at the age of 30. And because of financial situation, I never finished it. But that was before I left at the age of 33. And now God has made it able for me to
praise
complete
the Lord,
my pilot's license. And I'm very close to that, because we have been traveling up rivers, meandering to and fro for days to get to tribal villages, remote villages. And with the airplane, what will take you 2 days by canoe will take you 2 hours by plane.
Sure.
So it's a revolutionary different. We can take more Bibles also, because many of these remote villages don't have one Bible. They can already read and write in Spanish or Portuguese, especially because the children speak it, because due to the explosion of technology, the government has built little schools in all these remote areas, and the children become the natural translators, interpreters, and all they need is Bibles, but there's no Bibles. And we just take Bibles with canoes every time we go, and people grab it like, you know, when chickens go run for mealy, the same. They're hungry, they just know instinctively there's something about this book. So that's why we're getting our pilot's license ready, and there's lots of airplanes standing across this globe in sheds or in hangars that are never being used. And I know that somebody would be privileged that we can use their plane to take the Bibles in, so they keep their plane, but we can use it to get Bibles in and out.
Now, so I want to ask you this, Arnold. You just touched on that. You're saying that many, and I know that, many light aircraft are parked in hangars and sheds all around the world. And perhaps someone knows about a few of these airplanes standing in hangars and sheds somewhere in the world, and you can use them, you can loan them, you can rent them, you can whatever, buy them or whatever, and reach these remote people groups in the Amazon jungle. And just tell us in a nutshell, how do you use the airplanes?
Well, there's lots of remote tribal villages who are now, can I say, westernized? Not really. They still hunt with bow and arrow, but they wear clothes. So there's a cross-section between primitive and western. And there are simple runways built there. So it's just on a grass patch. And, you know, a certain type of airplane like the Cessna 172 can do short-field landing and a soft-field takeoffs. So it's perfectly for that kind of circumstance. And we can fly, and we already know those people, but being able to fly in more Bibles, we can reach other tribes around them much faster. So these are one of the little projects we're working on, and we know that get God back stuff like that. So we're full of faith and excitement and joy because of that. And, you know, whether there are planes or not, it doesn't stop us, because the Bible says that the word of God and the knowledge of God will spread around the earth. And Matthew 24:14 says, once when everyone has heard, it's literally every tribe, tongue, nation has heard, then the end will come. So it's also actually speeding and hastening the day of his coming, as it says in 2 Peter 3:11-12. So that's why we do it, and there's a lot of joy in that.
So if you know about an airplane, a light aircraft standing somewhere in a shed or parked in a hangar, somewhere in the world, we're going to give Arnold van der Spey contact details later on the program. Contact him and be part of this wonderful mission work, the Amazon missions into the southern parts of America in the Amazon jungle. Now, quickly, I want to ask you, Arnold, you are with your wife, Heidi, in South Africa. At the moment, you are in Vanderbilt Park for this evening at a venue, but you are in South Africa until the end of November 2018, and you are ready to go to home groups, to men's and ladies' meetings, prisons, old age homes, schools, youth groups and churches. If they want to contact you, we'll give the contact details later on. What do you do when you go to these church groups or old age homes or schools? I think schools, wonderful opportunity to testify, and churches. And if people want to invite you, what do you tell them there? What do you testify?
Well, we bring along props. So we bring along literal weaponry from the Amazon jungle, large bows and arrows. We show them the real things. We bring along stuffed piranha fish and, you know, props like that, which is people can look at it. I'll give a secret away. Sometimes use a rubber snake, I throw it into the audience and people sketch and run. There's a nice excitement, and then you really get, you know, people coming to listen to it. And then we give life testimonies of where we were saved from death, literally, by the power of God. There's lots of those that took place. I had arrows up my throat. I won't go into detail now, but God has saved us from death. That's why we're still going. And we also play music. We compose our own music, and we've got CDs that people can purchase. And we've got Jesus t-shirts, all that. So that's all just a mix. And then we bring a bit of God's word. But I think telling the real stories and the testimonies, what we've experienced, that's really where it centers on, because that encourages people. It's funny how you remember a story.
Amen, yeah.
So that's what we actually do.
So we'll give...
Free of charge. Yeah. I've had people calling me and say, Arnold, how much do you... I said, please, listen, it's totally... We don't even go that way. Thank you.
Good. Free of charge. And I'll give the contact details of the Amazon missions with Arnold and Heidi van der Spey later on the program. I want to ask you quickly... Romans 12 talks about living sacrificially as our reasonable service. Romans 12. And Jesus also told a story about a servant whose service was regarded as the least he could do. In fact, we are all servants of Jesus, and that's what we ought to do. Tell us about the day you were ministering in a chief's home.
Yes. There were lots of chief's homes we've been ministering in. And what happens is we pray for people. Now, we don't necessarily have a gift of healing, but we found out that if we do childlike prayers and just lay on hands on people, that deaf ears open up and broken knees are healed instantly. Hmm. We've seen this to our own amazement, John. So I said, to my own amazement, it's no credit to us, and we've seen God operate. And after they've been touched and healed, those people are so open to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, because they were healed in His name. And then those people actually ask us to get baptized, because we sometimes show the Jesus form on a little laser projector, and they saw Jesus being baptized and say, "We want that too." Amazing. And then we do it in the rivers. There's so much water. And then there's a chief that we've recently been ministering with. I heard about his testimony years ago when I started, that he was raptured to heaven. And I'll put it in a very short story. His wife died because of a sickness, and he was so depressed. And the gospel came close to his trial, but he never wanted to listen to it. He never knew about it. And then God literally takes him to heaven. And we know he was there, because he said there was a gate that they didn't allow him to go into because his name wasn't found written in a certain book. And he had to go via another way, and he appeared before God. So it seems to me he couldn't go into the New Jerusalem, if we can put it that way. But he appeared before God, and he was addressed in his tribal language, his cultural name, and he God asked him to speak in his cultural language, not in the Portuguese as they do in Brazil. And there God spoke with him in Carichiana. And he saw a figure next to God, and he said, who's this? And he said, but the figure was very bruised and full of blood. And God said, this is my son. And, you know, he's just a... So God was the big chief, the biggest chief to him. And he said to God, so was your son always like this? You know, he was just trying to be polite. And God said, no, the people on earth made him like that. And there God gave him the gospel of his son Jesus
Christ. Amen.
And he received Jesus. And God said, do you believe now? He said, yes. He said, well, I'm going to send you back to earth, and I'm going to wake your wife back to life, which God did. He went, came back. His wife was woken back to life. We know her today. And we asked her, when you were dead, what? She says she can't remember anything. But she was literally there because the doctors and the nurses, that machine showed a zero for a couple of hours that she was about to. And God woke him, and he wanted to do revenge on the guy who killed a brother of his. And God said, you don't revenge that person. Go and forgive him. So in a short story, we've met him. It's wonderful to know Luis, the chief, and hear this. So we got lots of stories like that. And then we get invited to also minister for those people.
Brilliant, brilliant. And we're going to get to your website and your cell phone number in a minute or two. But just tell us quickly, you have these tracts you hand out as well. If you die tonight, are you sure you are going to heaven types of tracts? How does the Lord use that by his grace?
You know, we've got them in our car and in our little money bags. And wherever we go, at gas stations, petrol stations, yeah, or on the streets, and we see somebody, suddenly we just take one out, and if we stop somewhere, or the people at the street corners begging for money, we give them, like, you know, a few bobs, a few rands or whatever with a tract. And we've seen people being saved just because of that little tract. It just gives three verses where Jesus shares how you can be saved, how he, one of them is John 1:12, where Jesus said, for all who have received him, all who have believed in God has given you the right to become his child. Isn't that wonderful? Mm-hmm. We have a right. God's given it to everybody. Those who want to receive, believe in him, God gives you the right. Isn't that wonderful? The Almighty gives you the right to become his child, son or daughter. And we just share those simple verses and pray for them. Sometimes we have 3 minutes or 1 minute, and we just simply say to them, pray with me. We don't even ask them. They give their hands and say, Jesus, come in. Thank you for forgiving my sin. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And those people say, wow, I feel touched. What happened? So very shortly again, that's what we... And we wrote those tracts ourselves. We just printed it very, very short, very brief, bold letters, and people can quickly whisper through it and say, wait a minute, this is bugging me if I die tonight. And so we can tell them how to get saved.
Praise the Lord. Your wife, Heidi, has left her full-time job to work full-time for Christ Jesus, joining you, Arnold, her husband. What does she say?
Well, she's sitting right next to me, and she always wanted to work for the Lord full-time, and she tried everywhere in every avenue and alley, and it didn't work out. And I came to spoke at the church, and she sat in the audience. Long story short, we met very quickly that evening, and that was it. It was history. And so our relationship grew very quickly, and we married more than 3 years now, first time for both sides. And she is now finding fulfillment. And she had a very good career in the normal world, also speaking on radios, reading news of agencies, and writing case studies. She's a very professional. But now she's using most of those talents for the mission work. She also plays keyboards and piano, so it really fills up that part. And it's a great source of help. I said to the Lord, I can't really go on my own anymore. And God said, well, I created the help. So I asked God, and he gave me Heidi. Isn't that wonderful?
So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Well, Arnold, it was wonderful speaking to you this afternoon. Arnold Van Espay and Heidi Van Espay, Amazon Missions. Give us your web address and details and your cell phone number. And I want to stress, if you know about an airplane somewhere in a shed, somewhere in a hangar, and it's not used, take the details. Contact Arnold Van Espay at Amazon Missions. Give us the details, please.
Yes. You've just said it. It's so simple. It's Amazon Missions, plural, AmazonMissions.com. That's our website. You can just put Amazon Missions in Google, or you can put our names, Arnold van der Spay, whatever, and you'll find AmazonMissions.com. Anywhere, everywhere on Facebook, and we would love to write to you, to share with you, phone you, call, whatever. And our mobile or cell phone, I'm going to repeat it slowly. You can get that. You can text us, SMS us anywhere internationally. It's 074-227-3224. I repeat, 074-227-3224. One last time, 074-227-3224. Welcome to text us anytime. We're very informal, and we would love to come and share at the smallest venue. It's not a problem. Thank you, Johan.
Amazon Missions with an S at the end. www.amazonmissions.com. Arnold and Heidi, thank you so much. May the Lord God carry you between his shoulders, as Deuteronomy 33 verse 12 says, be blessed.